This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. First Friday of the month, first Friday of the new year, our day to talk about dogs. Did I say first day of the new?
No, you said first Friday.
First Friday?
That was last Friday.
Oh,
Celeste.
That's right.
But you've never made a mistake before, so this will go down in history.
No, I've never made a mistake before. Are you kidding me? Oh, my goodness.
Well,
people across central Illinois are checking their calendars now.
Is it the first Friday?
What?
I'm sorry. I'll just sit in the corner here for a while and let you guys carry on.
Let us take you back to December or something when we said, we won't be. It's the day after New Year's. And we said, let's put it off.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy Carroll are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana.
That's right.
Let me see if I can get some other things out here on the table that are correct. And they join us once a month to talk about dogs.
Good so far.
They are dog lovers. They both have dogs. Carroll has a doodle.
Mm-hmm.
And
we don't
golden.
Really count that as a dog.
Stop
and
it. You want one.
Jim and his lovely wife Robin have Malamutes, and
a mix.
Oh, you've
little
got,
speckles.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So anyway, they're here to talk about dogs, and we look forward to hearing from our listeners this afternoon. That is also correct, and our listeners can join us this afternoon. With a telephone call.
I said sarcasm.
Unless they're in a time capsule somewhere.
And the numbers are in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. I'm a tiny bit under the weather.
I can hear it
in my voice. Mm-hmm. So I'm not quite
I had it. It's 2 weeks of misery.
Yuck. Okay. So you look good and sound good, though, the two of you.
Well, I'm...
That's why I love this place. Well,
everybody lies so nicely.
No, they tell you the truth. I've been told I look cute today and Christmassy. I like that.
Yes. Oh,
as opposed
to
Jim didn't hear any of that.
Yeah. No, no one said I looked cute at all.
So what's coming up at the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana in
Classes
the new year?
Start... We had orientation for Home Companion last night, and classes start Sunday night. We've got some new exciting schedules.
Sunday night.
New exciting schedules, meaning?
Yeah, we're doing some
depends
things
on what
that,
excites you, I suppose.
We're doing things that we hadn't done traditionally in the past, and we're having classes on non-traditional days like Sunday evening.
Tuesday
people
morning.
Are available more than just Monday through Friday evening. And so having classes on the weekend is very beneficial for a lot of people.
Yeah,
and if we find people willing to teach them, all the better.
Yeah, there's the rub.
That's the rub.
Yeah. So, what kind of classes have you got coming up? You mentioned the companion.
I teach home companion. I've got a cough drop in my mouth. I teach home companion.
It's cute though.
Loves. Which I really love teaching that class.
Yeah. Are you teaching anything, Jim?
I'm teaching nothing. I'm the director of training, and. But because of work obligations in the next few months, I'm not going to be able to teach a class. But
that happens sometimes.
I'm the supervisor, in a sense.
I took several sessions off, and sometimes it's good to, if you're doing something, well, it's just like anything else, you do something for a long time, then you take some time off and you get some new ideas and a different perspective on things and return to it with a renewed sense of enthusiasm and energy, which... Remarkably, I've got. I don't know how.
Vacations.
So
never works with me, but
no. But I do like teaching the classes, and
I find when I'm on vacation, like we just got back from dog sledding on Sunday. When we're up there, I think, why should I go back to Champaign and all that work? I could stay here forever.
Well, now I'm going to give you the sign for it. We've got a caller.
The secret universal sign for telephone call.
Yes, telephone call. We've got a listener joining us now in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
All right. I've got some problems with a couple of male dogs.
Okay. We'll see if we can help you out.
All right. Well, I need a lot of help. I've got 5 Yorkies. I've got... 3 females and 2 males, and the one male Yorkie is a mix, and he's attacking the other one, and I've had him for 2 years with the other 4 Yorkies, and I first noticed it when my wife used to work 6 hours a day, and we caged the males up, and we let the females out, and when we leave the open the cages up, then the one male would go after the other one. And I messed up, and I hit the aggressor on two or three occasions, which I know I shouldn't have done. And I'm just, I don't want to get rid of him, but I need some help.
Is he intact?
Pardon?
Is he intact? Is he neutered?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all safe.
And when he attacks the other Yorkie, and I have to say at this point, life is merrier with a Yorkshire Terrier.
Yeah.
It's a Norfolk Terrier is the way it really goes.
When he attacks the other Yorkie, what are the circumstances? Is it feeding time or?
No, actually, when they're feeding, it's fine. I take them for walks together. They're fine. It's just usually in the house. They've even got into it out in the backyard. But I can take them for walks, and there's no problem at all. I've been trying to take them for more walks, you know, tire them out and get them relaxed. And
do they injure one another? Is there blood?
The last time, it was on Christmas Day, and my grandson came running in the house, and the one went for the other one and got him down, and he drew blood under his chin, and then it got all, like, infected. I didn't realize it was so bad, and then we had to get him to the vet, and he just goes crazy. He just doesn't want to let go, when I have my grandson there, I pick him up, and he nips at his feet, but he doesn't do anything. It's just like we're taking him away from him, but he doesn't really bother my grandson, just the other dog.
You had the four Yorkies, and then you got the mix?
Yeah, we got the mix from my father-in-law when he died.
And he's the aggressor.
Yeah.
How long ago did you get the mix?
A couple of years ago.
So, and when did the fighting start?
Oh, I'd say a good 6 months ago. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't too bad, but you know, there was some ground, and I'd pull them apart. But then, it seems like ever since I punished the aggressor, that it's gotten really worse. He doesn't growl; he just goes. You know.
Where do they all sleep?
The mix sleeps in a bed, in our bed. And I cage the other one, the one that's
okay. And when you feed them, where do you feed them, and when do you feed them?
At least two or three times a day, in the morning, at night, and in the kitchen on the linoleum floor or the tile floor.
Do you have any order that you feed them in, or do you feed them all together?
It's usually first come, first serve. You know, if they're out there and they're seem like they might be hungry, we just feed them. We don't. Sometimes they feed all together, sometimes not.
Do they each have their own bowl?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, analysis. The
right.
Now
another thing, when the non-aggressor, he stares hard at the other one because
yeah. See, you know, I was going to say, let's watch the one that's getting beat up on, because he's probably the one that's inciting it, and you're not seeing it.
And he struts around with his chest out, and he'll circle the other one, too, sometimes.
Yeah.
And I don't know why he does that, because he's going to get beat up.
Well, he doesn't think that way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He forgets from one time to the other, I suppose.
Yeah, I had, years ago, we had two males, and substantially larger than the Yorkies. They got along for a long time, and then... Now, they were both intact, but then they started fighting, and the younger dog was much larger than the older dog, and he kept beating him up, but the older dog kept attacking. And you look at the dog and say, are you nuts? You know, he's going to beat you up every time.
Yeah. Well, the non-aggressor doesn't attack, but he does what I told you. And his tail is wiggling real fast all the time. It's like he's happy, but he's getting ready for something.
Yeah, see, he's posturing in front of the other dog, and... Yeah. You know, now the damage is done by physically striking the dog.
I know, and I didn't know that. And
But you got to do something to break it up. But hitting them makes them more aggressive.
The other dog, maybe, I don't know.
The problem with hitting the aggressor is this: it doesn't teach him in dog language. It doesn't teach him not to beat up the younger dog. It does teach him not to beat up on you.
Yeah.
So
they were coming together last night, walking toward each other, and I just grabbed the aggressor, didn't grab him hard, just touched him under the chin, just to let him know that no attacking or anything, and they didn't. But
this seems to be just kind of classic dominance problems. Although it's hard to say who's dominant, we know which dog is stronger.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's always hard to say who's starting it. I suspect it's the new dog. And when we don't ask where does the dog sleep lightly.
Should I put them both in a cage?
Not together.
They
said, no, not that I know.
Isn't it ironic we said not together, together?
But the non-aggressor, like the other host said, he is staring the other one down hard.
Let's eliminate the aggressor and non-aggressor, because I think you've got to look at the situation as the one that's doing the posturing is inciting the other dog to do this behavior.
Yeah, you have when you get a new dog. And I'm not that familiar with toy breeds or with terriers. But when you get any new dog, there's a period of adjustment where nobody knows the social order and things are kind of up in the air. The new dog very often doesn't know his place.
Right.
And they're a little intimidated. Obviously, he lived with your father-in-law and doesn't really understand why he's been moved to this new home, and so it just takes a while. After a while, then it's, well, let's set up a social order here, and your the younger dog thinks, well, you know, I'm the boy here and a bunch of girls, so I may not be dominant to the girls, but I certainly am the dominant male because there's no other male. And here comes a new male, and he's really not acting dominant because he's confused and stressed. Then when he starts getting used to the situation, then he starts saying, no, I think I'm the dominant male. And then you start having these kind of confrontations to see who's who.
Yeah.
Hitting a dog is, as you've learned, not a great way to train them.
No.
And very often, you're not really training them what you think you're training them for.
Yeah.
I've been known to hit a dog when they're biting me, but that's more of a reaction. And it's a direct training, you know, you're biting me, I hit you, you stop. But if the dog is doing something you don't want them to do and you hit them, how are they supposed to know, you know?
And we've gotten bit trying to break them up.
Yeah.
Oh, you left that little part out until now.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I got bit and then my wife got bit. She got bit.
Rule number one in dog fights, don't get in between the two combatants.
Yeah.
After all these fights, you've only had that one small wound.
I don't know whether.
No. I mean, on the other dog.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I don't think they'll fight to the death. I would keep a spray bottle of water handy.
Mm-hmm.
And what that will do when they start this fighting, that will distract them, and then you can stop it. But
they wear harnesses. Usually, I try and grab them by the harness, but when I'm pulling the dog that's doing the biting, the other one's being dragged along.
Yeah, in fact, my guess is, and I say this from the dog fights we've had, most of the damage is done
pulling
them away.
Yeah.
And you are, even little Yorkies, they don't seem to be strong. Their jaws are incredibly strong. It's very difficult to prise their jaws apart, and I've tried. Not with Yorkies. You know, in the panic of the moment, you think, oh, I can break them up. You can't.
Yeah, these two are about 10 pounds each. Bigger Yorkies.
Very bad idea to stick your hands in.
No.
Carol's idea of a spray bottle is a good one.
Just to distract them, and they'll stop what they're doing.
And it's nonviolent, and it's a surprise, you know. But I wouldn't crate the dogs together for sleeping, but I would get that guy out of the bedroom.
Yeah, trade him too in a different.
Yeah, when you strike a dog, you're not convincing him that he's dominant or not dominant. But when you let him sleep in your bedroom, you are telling him that he is dominant.
Yeah,
you don't mean to, but
you know, if he were going to let any of the two dogs sleep with him, it would be the younger one.
Mm-hmm.
Because and here's something that's counterintuitive. Okay,
oh, the older one is getting beat up.
Okay, whichever one's getting beat up.
Yeah.
The one that's doing the posturing, and so that would be the one that I would think would be the one that's attempting to let the other one know he's dominant over him, and then you support that dog, not the underdog. So it's kind of it's hard to do that because you feel sorry. But in your case, the underdog is responding violently to the other dog's posturing.
Do these guys know how to sit and stay?
Yeah.
Okay. Once you get them apart.
Sometimes, not all the time.
Well, as long as they know what the command is.
Yeah.
You and your wife get together and make them sit and stay, not necessarily facing each other, but not too close. Maybe, of course, with Yorkies, a foot is enough. Maybe a foot or two apart. But you make them sit and stay, and better yet, down and stay with each other sitting there, within a foot of each other. And you can say whatever you want because they don't understand. But you can indicate to them that you're displeased.
Yeah.
And leave them in that position for maybe 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, and say, okay, you guys, this is how it's going to be. And, as I say, you can say anything you want, as long as they know you're mad. Say, okay, you can get up and let them walk toward each other or do whatever they want, keeping them on the lead. Mm-hmm. When you have them sit, stay, keep them on a lead. Uh-huh. And then if they start to fight, you don't have to stick your hands in. You can pull them apart fairly easily from a distance because they're on a lead. And once again, make them sit and stay in each other's presence. Now, the problem with that is whatever social order they've got going is not going to be affected by this.
No.
But they're going to get the big idea that I may be dominant over you, you may be dominant over me, but neither one of us is dominant over them. And when they come in, they settle the fight. And we stop
them
fighting.
Them is you, by the way.
You, yeah. You're the dominant guy, and you have control. You can make them sit and stay. They can't move, and they're going to have to listen to you, rant and rave for 10 minutes, and that's probably
maybe
punishment enough.
Yeah, maybe I'm not being dominant enough.
Well, no, don't confuse that.
Dominance isn't hitting or being violent. It's controlling the situation.
Yeah.
And so you make them sit, and as I say, let the dogs know you're not happy, but you can do that by a stern voice. You don't have to hit them.
I don't mean by hitting. I mean just calm and firm. And
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I had a situation last night where the place, to me, got a little bit out of control. I said, knock it off. But I said it a little more assertively than that. Hey, fine. Mm-hmm. We'll listen to you. I could have let it go on unchecked, but I thought, well, I don't want to listen to this tonight. So.
Yeah, and our dogs, we have them in the house. One will pick up the other's toy, knowing it's the other's toy. The other guy will start to growl. We go, hey, shut up. Give him his toy back.
Yeah.
And stuff
even
like that.
The dog that's getting beat up, he's playing with a toy sometimes, and I'm playing with him with a toy, and the other one comes, and ever since we got him, he just takes the toy away.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of times I just took it I told him no, and then I told him to go. And I think that was a verb of formal punishment, and maybe he didn't like that, and then maybe he thinks that's just as bad as getting hit. I don't know, but that's something else.
Well, for a dog, unless you break a bone or something, getting hit by dogs, they don't really, one of their forms of communication is to run into each other.
Yeah.
So striking a dog isn't really a training technique.
But it's a bad thing to do.
It's fun because it makes you feel so good
bad,
when you do it.
Bad thing.
It's not a good training technique.
I've never hit my dogs.
Even verbally to tell them.
I've never hit Carol's dogs either. you can yell all you want.
Yeah.
But that said, I'm going to bring up. I hope my sister's not listening.
Me too.
Because I love my sister to death and her kids, but she nagged and yelled at those kids all the time, and they just totally turn her out.
Mm-hmm.
They don't listen to anything. Well, they're older now, and they do, but they just, that's all they lived with. I mean, she wasn't mean. She just didn't communicate with, and since I have kids, I'm an expert, of course.
Maybe the same way with dogs.
Yeah, they'll tune you out, so save it for a transgression. Don't nag them.
The other problem is if you're disciplining a dog with your voice, keep a happy thought in your heart, because we have a tendency if we yell angrily that we become angry. You want to put on an act for these dogs. You quit this. I'm tired of this. So the consequence of them fighting is they have to sit and listen to you for 10 minutes, And
that's nagging.
Yeah, and they don't want to do that, So next time when you go, hey, quit that, they know what it means.
Yeah. One more thing. Is there, is there a phone number for additional advice that you could give me? Or
We're here on the first Friday of the month, usually.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You can call the training club.
Well, that's not going to help. There's nobody there to answer the phone.
Yeah, I called, and all I get is a computer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, you can call either one of us. I mean, we're...
I'm in the book.
Accessible.
D-A-R-R-O-L-L, or...
Oh, no, I'm a girl. Sorry. Well, I don't want to give out phone numbers over the air.
Right.
So how about if you call us back when we're off the air and we can talk
to
you and give you our numbers? How's that?
That's fine.
Okay.
Why don't you
take up any more time?
Yeah, why don't you let's have Jason pick up
the
phone and get your number. And then we'll have Jim or Carol give you a call.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Good luck. That's a doable thing, isn't it?
That's very doable.
What a situation there. He sounds very concerned. I'm sure they're going to work that out.
So you have five little Yorkies, but if you had five Malamutes with the same issue, it takes on a lot more gravity.
Yeah.
So,
Well, to be honest, there's just some dogs we don't let close to each other because they've shown that they can't get along, and it's more than once.
And it's proven.
Yeah, any dog will fight once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had, we've got two boys. They were born together. They're litter mates. They're kenneled together now, but they've had a couple fights over the years, and that's what we do. We yell at them, nothing in particular, just we make them sit next to each other while we rant and rave.
Dog fights are scary.
And then we say, good dogs, we give them cookies, you know, all's forgiven, good dogs. And then we see what they do, and generally they just walk off to get, you know, these
fights. Well, Carol's point, too, is a good one in terms of, you know, save it for... when you need it.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yes.
Keep your powder dry, as they say. And I remember as a kid, and even now, we have a cat now. But because when they're doing things well and they're lovely, you have it light and happy. And then when you say no, and your tone changes, man, they know it. And the dog that we had when we were kids, she would take it so to heart. She'd hang her head.
Horrified that they've done something to upset you. Yeah. And, you know.
You can't break up a dog fight.
No.
That's just, you might as well.
Well, it antagonizes them more. It adds to the excitement.
It exactly does, because they're going rah, rah, rah. And remember, they don't understand English. So what they hear from you is rah, 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 rah. So they think you're, you know, part of the fight. So it's just better to say nothing until you get them separated. And then they go, uh oh, dad's mad.
I remember so well walking, I think it was Hulky and Tracy one night, and I take long walks, and I was quite away from home, and I was going through it was dark, I was going through a school field, and here comes this big dog that I'd seen before, and he attacked us. And I thought, nobody's going to hear me scream, it's not going to do any good. So it was very hard for me to put on this brave front. But I just kept on walking and told the other dog to go home, and I used a mean voice. But if I had stood there and screamed or tried to run with the dogs, I had enough wits about me to realize that would have been the worst thing to do. So, but I'll tell you, when I got home, I was like a puddle of a person. I was exhausted, and it was a long time for it even go into that same neighborhood, because I was so afraid of that occurring again.
Yeah.
But.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon here on the second Friday of January.
She'll never get over that.
Usually we do this show on the first Friday of the month. We talk about dogs with Jim and Carol. Jim and Carol are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign, Urbana. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with a question, a comment, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign, Urbana area, and toll-free, 800-222-9455, 333-WILL, and toll-free, 800-222-WILL.
And now for the disclaimer. It sounds like the gentleman was having dominance problems, but they're, you know, for every dog, there's a reason to fight, and it's a fairly complicated issue. And
especially with five dogs.
When you have five dogs, and who knows what they're fighting about. So it's hard to analyze just over the phone or over the air But I do want to emphasize, and people should tell their kids, if dogs are fighting, don't try to break them up with your hands, certainly. Spray bottles, or some people have use those horns that people take to football games to startle the dogs. And the object of that is to startle the dogs so they stop fighting and you can get them apart. Do not put your hands near their mouths. Don't grab them by the neck, because that's where the other dog's going to bite. And I've had that experience where I grabbed a dog to pull it off. The other dog was biting the first dog, but he had my hand. So
yeah, and they're not biting you. You're just in the way.
Yeah. Let's take another couple of calls here. Next, we go to Charleston, listener on line one. Hi.
Yes, I have a large breed white hackbash female who has developed an affinity to go to the dump. And is there any way that I can keep her home? She's a guard dog, and it doesn't do much good to have her locked up.
A dump? What do you mean by a dump? So I know
it's a landfill.
Where they take garbage?
Yes.
When you say she's a guard dog, what's she guarding?
She's guarding livestock against coyotes and other marauders.
And she's taken to wandering off?
Yes, and going to the landfill.
Well, obviously the landfill has treats and goodies that are very tempting for her.
Yes.
Was she trained as a sheep guarding dog, or just using her natural abilities?
Well, she's an Akbash, which is a Turkish guard dog. Mm-hmm. They're raised with the livestock, and then that becomes part of their family, and they're very protective.
Well, I'm going to ask you a really dumb question, and I apologize for it in advance, but is she getting enough to eat?
Yes, she has free access to the best dog food that a dog can be bought.
Was she raised with sheep?
Yes, she was.
Okay.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, what you have, and you're right, that kind of guard dog should stay with the sheep.
That's right. She also has a primary need to eat, and she likes garbage better than dog food.
Did the sheep go to the dump with her?
Oh, no. Their fence is over, it's a mile away.
Okay, but she's able to get through the fence or over the fence.
Yes, that's correct.
The only thing I can think of off the top of my head is this. You can teach a dog boundaries.
Yes.
It's they have to be good on lead to begin with. They have to be leash broken. Is she leash broken? Or?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm not real familiar with how to teach.
Well,
boundaries.
We could put flags around the fence line.
But what you do is you walk on the fence line and have somebody helping you on the other side, tempting the dog, you know, to go over the fence. And when she thinks about it, you change the game. And so she's going toward the fence. You say, come on, girl. And you call her to you and you give her a cookie. You know, or a treat or a pet or whatever you wanted, some reward. And then you keep walking, and the person on the other side keeps calling, trying to entice the dog, and you keep her on this side. Another thing you can do is take some of that dog food and start spreading it around where the sheep are.
Uh-huh.
She may be partly bored. You know, because after all, dogs and sheep don't speak the same language. If you saw the movie Babe, but she may just be bored sitting around with a bunch of sheep all the time, and it may not be the treats that are at the dump, but all the other, you know, interesting things she can find. So if you take some food and kind of spread it around in the grass, it's going to take her a while to start finding this, and you're kind of using her natural hunting instinct to try to catch it. And it's not like a secret, you know, show her the food and then toss it so she can see where it falls. And then she'll spend, you know, if you have a handful, she'll probably spend 45 minutes trying to get each kibble.
That sounds like a good solution to me.
Well,
I like your idea. That's
rarity. It's obviously, you're going to have to keep doing this, but and you start spreading it farther and farther till there's some in every point in her territory, so that it's more tempting and more interesting to stay with the sheep than it is to go down the road and in the dump there are other things besides food to eat. You know, there's probably coyotes down there, but there's probably raccoons and squirrels and possums, and it's just an interesting place for a dog.
Why don't they fence off the dump so animals can't get in there?
Oh, she'd find a way in.
Oh, would she?
Yeah. If she can get out.
I feel
she can get in.
I feel so naive. I don't know what a dump looks like, I guess.
It's just where
it's a sanitary landfill.
It's just, you know.
Oh, I guess I've never. I'm gonna have to go out look for one and see what they look like. Yeah, field trip.
But stray dogs and feral dogs hang around those a lot because there's a lot to eat. But try that. These commercial things like Buddha bones, where you put food inside of a toy, and the dog spends a lot of time trying to get
really on. Yeah, liver sausage.
How old is she, by the way?
She's 2.5.
Hmm.
And the other thing is, somebody obviously trained her for this, unless it was you. Did you get her as a pup?
Yes, I got her as a pup.
Okay. I would go back to her breeder and say, hey, I'm having this problem.
Uh-huh.
Because the breeders probably run into this kind of thing a lot more than we have.
I've never even seen landfills, so I'm
well. We've had dogs that get through the fences for other reasons, I think it was mostly because they were bored, you know, and they were trying to get out, and they would go to the neighbors and kill their ducks and stuff. So I have a feeling there's whatever is tempting her. It's just boredom from where she is.
But well, I certainly thank you very much.
Sure.
Well, call us back and let us know because this is
an interesting
intriguing
problem. Yeah.
Okay, I certainly will, and thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. Let's take another call. Listener in Sullivan, line 4. Hi.
Hi, how's it going? Not a question. Well, statement. I have one dog that has been around for about 5 years, and he's gentle and whatever. He's a boxer, and his offspring this past year. Well, I'm not at this house down south. They had boarded off the little gate, and they're putting their dog there, and she's urinating and defecating on the property. What can I put out to eliminate this problem? I don't want any problem with my neighbors whatsoever, because I need to walk on them to paint my walls in the building.
Okay, so the neighbors have a dog that's outside?
Yeah.
Urinating and defecating, and they next door?
They're on my property, yeah.
So where do the offspring of the dog come into play? I missed it.
Well, that's the male, the older dog, her father. He's just like a pussycat. He goes back in his own property and his box or whatever. But the young pup, with about a year old or less, she comes in my property, and I have a concrete wall around the house, probably about 3 foot tall. And they put a little board up to block the entrance or the gate that goes out to the street. So she's on my property full time. But what can I put up or put on my property to keep the dog off? You know, like cayenne pepper? Or
well,
I'm sorry. It's a people problem.
Okay. Yeah, I'd talk to them. But there's a stuff called liquid fence.
Liquid
fence.
And it stinks, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a commercial product, and you get it from a pet supply store.
Garden centers have it, too.
Garden centers have it. And it's what it sounds like. You spray the thing, and I've never used it. I've seen it.
I've smelled it. It's awful.
I don't want to smell awful because this is on the beach down in Florida, and I don't want to go out there barefoot.
Oh, wait a second. You're talking about Florida?
You got it, honey.
Oh.
Shall we say I only go down? I'm going down next month, and I don't want to walk in this dog dewy.
Well, talk to the people that own the dog and have them clean up after her.
My daughter was down there last week or so, and as soon as she left, up went the door, and you know, out went the dog again.
Well, talk to them again. Some people just need some encouragement.
I thought a shotgun would be pretty good. But I didn't do that.
There's there's a dog training book called Don't Shoot the Dog.
Don't shoot the dog. Shoot the owners.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, talk to the owners. And, you know, if they don't comply, then talk to the the city that in which you live. They've got people that can help with those issues.
Well, try the liquid fence. It may smell bad, but it's up close. It smells bad.
And not forever and ever.
And not, yeah, the problem with it is if you're up here and she's down there, what we generally recommend is training, but obviously you can't train somebody else's dog, so you got to talk to them.
They've got, all they have to do is clean it up.
Yeah, but I don't know how much they want to clean up.
Well, that's the issue that you've got with mm-hmm. them. They have to comply.
Okay, well, I didn't know if there was any chemical you could spray around.
Yeah, try liquid fence and see if that works.
Okay, on two collars back, you know, the dogs were fighting. Why couldn't a person put a shock collar on them and push a button and drop off?
Because they'll fight more.
They probably would fight more.
It hurts.
About 220, that'd knock them off.
Well, it would probably fry a Yorkie.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay.
Well, that one left me a little warm.
Yeah. Peace.
On that note, what?
Yes. Oh, I was wondering why you're all dressed up like Christmas.
On that note, I have a recommendation.
Yes.
On New Year's morning,
mm-hmm.
I went to see Marley and Me.
Uh-huh.
And I loved it. It was a great movie.
Okay.
I put my little movie review out to our dog training club list because when I read the book, I thought, and then I heard they're making a movie, I thought this is going to be like the worst movie, like Bridal Wars or whatever is coming out now that annoys
Bridal
me.
Bridal Wars?
Oh, wait, you see the commercial for that. But I thought they're going to take this dog and make a mockery of him, and he's a big lab, and the people are going to look goofy, and the dog's going to be goofier, and it's going to be an annoying movie for dog lovers. But it wasn't. It was very good.
It.
Yes, I did.
Carol gives 4 stars?
I gave it 4.5.
4.5?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I liked it because as I watched the movie, and yeah, there were a few things in there that I would have edited out, I suppose, but as I watched the movie and I sat and reflected on it when it was over, I truly thought that the average family going to see that movie would feel a renewed sense of commitment to their family dog, because that's what this whole movie embodied. He drove them crazy, and yes, he would drive anybody crazy, but he mellowed out and they remained committed to him, and it just was a great movie, because I think the biggest problem we have with people and their dogs is a lack of commitment. So that's why I walked. You must take many Kleenexes with you, many tissues.
Yeah,
it's a canine snuff movie.
And well, it's even, you know, it's if you really love dogs or animals, yeah. you just have such compassion and sympathy for the family and for, I mean, but it was really very good. I will go see it again, but I think I'll wait till it comes out on DVD so I can weep in my own house.
Okay.
Instead of in public.
In the meantime, why don't we take another call?
Sure.
Listener on line one in Champaign. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a suggestion for the man with the problem of another neighbor's dogs using his property as a canine bathroom. It's what I did when I moved to where I am now. I don't have any fence or anything on the front, but people walk their dogs right up on my lawn. And so I picked it up and put it back where they had to walk through it. And as soon as they found out, I haven't had it clean a mess out of my front yard for 10 years.
Well, that just reinforces that it is a people issue.
It is a people issue.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put the stuff back where it bothers the people, usually, I think probably they'll stop.
Well, I think this dog is just running loose. But, you know, it's an old trick of putting the poop into a hole if the dog's digging a hole. You put some of its own stuff down there and they'll stop digging. At least they'll stop digging there.
Yeah, well,
so you want to dig holes in people's yards?
Well,
and
this dog
poop
is.
In there?
It would work if the people had to walk through the minefield, but this dog, it wasn't going to bother the
it
dog.
It might encourage the dog to use a different place. I mean, this smells familiar. Let's use here.
Or you could get somebody else's dog's stuff and put it around your
property,
and the dog might think, well, this is not, you know, this is somebody else's territory, and leave.
Anyway, that's my suggestion for the day.
Well, that's a good one. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us once a month, usually on the first Friday of the month, to talk about dogs. You mentioned New Year's Day, and I get a newsletter in the email from the folks who do the Mutts comic strip.
Mm-hmm.
The artist is Patrick McDonald. And I thought I would bring it with me into the studio this afternoon because we might want to talk about this. And this is a safety first for a New Year's resolution for your animals. And so they suggest consider enrolling in a pet first aid course.
Excellent. We have them here.
Okay. Create an emergency disaster kit. Ready
Excellent.
To go. Place the phone numbers that are germane, like for your vet, nearest emergency clinic, shelter, and a pet poison hotline on your fridge.
And aren't we lucky to have the pet poison control hotline right here?
And also take a moment to check the information listed on your pet's identification. Is it all up to date?
Those are excellent suggestions.
Okay.
And I didn't have to get my glasses out. Thank you for reading them.
Yeah. Okay. So, Patrick McDonald, I like that strip very much. I bet you
Yeah,
do
I like
too.
I like Mutts.
Mutts.
It sometimes can make you get a little teary.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Cats and dogs. And they did a fun number of strips recently about the incoming first family and their search for a dog.
I read somewhere that they might get two dogs.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Good idea.
Mm-hmm. They want a shelter dog, and then they have to be cognizant of the one young girl's allergies, so they may get a dog that is
hypoallergenic.
Well, if there really is such a thing, but less prone to cause allergic reactions. So, what a great idea. The dogs will have somebody to play with.
While the girls are at school.
While the girls are at school, and he's running the country, and everything will be fine.
Let's take another call.
Okay.
Listener in Champaign, line two. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a 3-year-old mixed breed female, and she's a very good girl. She's very good on her walk. She can pass walkers and children and bikers and all that, and she does a very good job. But if we're passing another dog, if I can let her off leash, if I'm in a place where she can run up to meet the other dog, there's no problem. She does the usual meet and greet, and she's very sweet. And then when I want to put her back on the leash, she's easy to continue walking. But if I can't do that, if I have to continue by having her on the leash, she will almost always, regardless of whether the other dog is nice or a little bit aggressive, she will almost always try to lunge at that dog and bark. And, she's scary looking to the other people, of course, and probably dog. As I said, she's good in every other situation, and I think if I let her off leash while she was kind of being aggressive toward the other dog, nothing bad would happen either, because once she's off leash, she's just delightful. But I need to know how to walk her on leash past other dogs, and do a good job.
We have an exercise that we teach at the beginning classes called Dog Greet Dog.
Yes.
For your purposes, you have to train her. To do that, you can't do it at random. And you certainly don't want to if your dog is lunging at another dog, let your dog go.
Right.
Because probably nothing bad would happen, but can you imagine the look on the other dog on
his
face?
Right, of course. Yes, yes.
She lets slip the dogs of war. So what you have to do is get a friend who has a dog, or better yet, a couple friends who have dogs, and somebody to help you. All right, so you walk down, you meet these people at a assigned point where there's nobody else around. She starts lunging. You hand the lead over to your partner.
Mm-hmm.
You go, you make your dog sit. Does she know sit, stay?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Tell her to sit, stay, give her a cookie. Go over to the other dog and start petting it.
Okay.
And then come back, assuming your dog has sat and stayed, and that's what the other person would guarantee, and give her a cookie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And just make over your dog like, this is really great. Grab the lead, and then you two walk past each other again.
Right.
And then do that.
I have to find people, though, whose dog she doesn't know, because if she knows the other dog, then she's not, then she's fine.
I think that'd be fine to do with the dogs that she knows. So when you see a strange dog, you don't exhibit this weird behavior in her eyes that you're petting strange dogs. So she becomes accustomed to your doing that.
Okay.
When you do it then on the street, if she starts lunging, you just want to kind of turn away from the other dog, tell her to sit, give her cookies, tell her she's a good dog.
Right.
What you're trying to do is when she sees a strange dog, it triggers this reaction in her.
Right.
She's probably trying to protect you.
Yeah.
If she's off lead, then she knows you don't need protection.
I see. Okay.
So,
and there is a term for that, and it's called leash aggression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can Google that and read about it.
Yeah.
It's,
all right,
there. It's not that uncommon. And
good. Well, that's very helpful.
Yeah, and what you're trying to do is change the trigger. You can't change the trigger. You're trying to use the trigger, the strange dog, to get her to sit and get a cookie.
Good.
So the same trigger leads to something good instead of something bad.
All right. Well, I'm very willing to try that. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call, and we're out of time. Thanks to the two of you. Good
it
to see you
by.
Again. It sure did. Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel will be with us next time on February 6th, 2009. This is the Afternoon Magazine, and Jim and Carol are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us once a month to talk about dogs.